You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tyler, if you had to put a ranking on, in your career as a producer, who's the worst ever at adhering to the clock?
I mean, do you want complete and total honesty?
I would expect nothing less from you.
You.
And that makes me feel good. Like, am I far and away? Like,
far,
it's not even,
and away.
Like, it's not even close?
Yeah, I don't think there's a close second there.
Like, it's me and everybody else.
All the breaks should be scheduled around your interviews where just
in fairness
on this one.
Okay. We've been pretty good about the clock up until Ted.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say most of that is due to me.
Yes, we can still dance.
Like,
on
I've
that.
I've never gone past the top of the hour and had to combine breaks
since the last time. Since the last time we did a show.
Since the last time you.
That was in my head. This is what we were gonna do.
Yeah, but you know. In fairness to you, and there's no fairness. You're the worst at it. I mean, it just goes because there was three more questions we had for Ted.
Oh, listen, I wasn't even. We hadn't even really scratched the surface of the things I wanted to ask. I had so many more things to get into with Teddy J. But listen, you can't ask for more than that from a guest. I mean, you've done a lot of radio. You've got guests that come on who, even though they might be good on their own radio show, they come on to your show and are absolute turd Fergusons. All right? The one thing you can say about Teddy J came on and brought it.
Yeah, fire.
I mean, think about it. We asked him four questions and it was 20 minutes.
That's it.
20 minutes, four questions. And we burned through the top of the hour. So there you go. All right? All right, that's the first segment of the show. We still got one. We got one more. We got our boy Russell Baxter in the next hour. Also haikus as well. Okay, I don't know if I'm gonna get to my freestyle or not, but we're definitely gonna get to masks. We're definitely gonna get to 4th of July, and we're definitely gonna get to open relationships. Okay, so we got
that's the one I'm having trouble with.
I'm sure you are.
It's too hard to do
because there's so many things you want to say. You want to go Teddy J on it. There's so many things
you
want to say.
Got to put it in the It's tough.
A lot of context. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Plenty to get into. We've got some Texans. We've got some Cam Newton. A couple of things that Teddy J had to say regarding Cam Newton to the Patriots that maybe
still
you hadn't thought about. We still got our boy Russell Baxter coming on, and we're ready to talk some baseball from San Antonio with our very own Bitter Mike. Lots to get to. Don't you go anywhere. It's ESPN.
Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, man. Apparently we're on Twitch.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
A friend of mine just texted me, said she can see us on Twitch.
And you're welcome.
That's it. All of that beautiful blackness right there. All of it. All of it.
Got it going in here.
That's it. Lots going on up in here. Let's go out to the text lines. Hashtag shout out Thursday.
Shout out Thursday.
So whenever you were talking about what's a good wave to signify the baseball start, 817 says baseball start, step up to the plate.
Ah!
Huge! Big time right
yes
there.
Yes, indeed. Step up to the plate.
This was whenever you're talking about your groin, Henry. 979 says, Henry talking about not getting a shot there. I'm supposed to get a vasectomy, and he's getting me scared even more. Thanks, Henry. LOL.
There you go.
Hey, I did that too, though. You know.
Oh, you did it? You've got a vasectomy?
Long time ago.
Long time ago.
Long time ago. That's
fine. Okay.
But that's different. That's different, you know.
The long term, you're trying not to have any more little Henry Thomases.
No, I would have loved to have a Henry Thomas. I'm just trying not to have no more babies.
That's it. That's it.
832 says, first time hearing the HD show and like it. You guys filling in tomorrow. That is a yes.
No, that's actually a no.
That's a no.
No.
That's a no.
I thought you were.
Well,
so did we.
We did too. But apparently a couple.
Oh, yeah. Every local. Yeah, he changed it. Local programming.
Local. Local out. Right. So, but we're available if need be.
If need be.
All right. AJ knows where to find me.
Got it.
And Rod Woodson's ready to go
in case we
had him all set for tomorrow. So shame on us.
Darren on the text line says baseball fans will definitely boo the Stro baseball fans are Stros. Baseball fans are the pettiest. He wrote prettiest, but I think he meant petty.
We know he meant petty. Sport. We know he meant
in
petty.
Radio, everyone gets their feelings hurt. LMFAO, that's the world we live in. Bunch of biatch crybabies in our society.
Nice.
Good to hear you guys again.
Hey, thanks. How do you spell biatch? Just curious.
B-E-A-A-A-T-C-H.
I always go B-I-O-T-C-H.
See, a lot of people, I'm more of a B-E-E-Y-A-T-C-H guy.
Biatch. That's like more like biatch.
It's biatch.
I know if you're dyslexic and you mess up.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, they say people with ADD have, you know, dyslexic tendencies. Continue.
Shout out to Hardware Hank.
Sweet.
That's a long time listener
and
right
he
there.
He said, shout out to Hill in Abbeville.
Yeah.
Boy, oh, Abbeville. It's your people. It's your people. Okay.
Yeah. Don't give me that running out of gas BS. James Harden is not clutch, period, from 832.
A lot of vitriol right there. Yeah. A lot of vitriol right there.
So nice to hear all this wishful thinking about sports coming back. LOL, it's not happening, bro, from 832. Oh.
Really love that. Love that positivity on a Thursday morning. Appreciate that, listener. But I appreciate you listening, though.
Yeah. Here's another one. Not a shout-out, just a hot take. This just in. There is literally people on the planet don't fear a virus that's lighter than the flu and along the lines of a chest cold. He wrote chess, though. The pansies will panic. Let them panic.
Huh.
And our most recent one, I predicted that Billy O wanted to be head coach GM even on 6-10 right after the 2014 draft. I knew it.
Hey.
Well, I mean, like 832 is Nostradamus.
I mean, it's easy to – I mean, anybody can write that. And again, I don't like people. And there's
at
a couple
all?
People. Well, no, I love people. I love people. There's no way to fact check what that guy just said.
That's why you say stuff like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and then you come off like
zero chance.
You just serve it up and move on. That's it. I love it.
And you know what? Maybe he's 100% right.
Yeah.
Maybe he did say in 2014, hey, Bill wants to be GM. Now,
head coach doesn't?
Well, as Bill Parcells famously said, you know, if you're going to make me make, if I have to make the meal, let me get the groceries.
Boom.
All right. So I get all that. No question about that. But I don't, I mean, again, if you're more clairvoyant, not to take away from said texter's clairvoyance, but at 2014, when Bill O'Brien came on, because me and Ted were on the air together at 6-10 on the Fred and Ted show back then, and I remember, you know, one of me and Ted's most heated to this day, and I guarantee if we'd have had time to talk about it, he would have laughed his ass off. Ted's probably wanted to punch me twice on air, probably more than that, but there was one time in particular when we were talking about who's going to be the new Texans head coach.
Right.
And I was saying, go grab Nick Saban. And oh, my God, Ted, what? Because I wouldn't get off of it. I wouldn't get off the point.
Like,
oh, he was.
Like we know. Like you're known to do. That's right.
There's nothing to suggest Nick Saban wants to go back to the NFL. Just saying. He's done it before. All right, that's enough. I'm done. And if you've ever been in a room with Ted Johnson, okay, Ted is not a small human being. So,
yes.
But yes, I just continued to poke the bear. Speaking of poking the bear, let's go out to the text line, go out to the phone line and poke this guy. I don't know if that sounds even remotely appropriate, but who cares?
Threw up in my mouth.
That's all right. We'll poke him in the head. The one, the only, Bitter Mike on a car phone. You may know him from the HD show with Bitter Mike podcast, baseball guy extraordinaire, Bitter Mike on a phone from
What's
San Antonio.
What's happening, Bitter Mike?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you this morning?
Groovy. And yourself?
Good, good. Excellent. Happy day after Bobby Bonilla Day, by the way.
Bobby Bonilla Day? I didn't know that was the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the day where he gets paid $1.1 million. Yeah, he gets paid $1 million for, like, till he's, what, 72 or something crazy like that?
$1 million till you're 72. Till 2035,
so 15 more years.
Wow.
How do I get that deal?
Well, it's too late. You're done. Your career's over.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's okay. I'm good, though.
And you are good. You are good. So what's going on, Bittermeyer? How are we living on a Thursday?
Are we going to have baseball, period?
We're good. We're good. It's a little bit hot and sticky out here in San Antonio.
It's
so
hot.
It kind of feels like May in Houston.
Okay.
You guys know humidity like nobody's business, right?
That's right. Are we going to have baseball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Are we going to have good baseball?
Well, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a sprint. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that are going to be showcasing a lot of young arms and a lot of young talent. So, I'm excited for it. Really, I think a lot of hardcore baseball fans are excited for it. And even some not so hardcore baseball fans, they're just starved for sports. If we're watching Ultimate Tag, then we're going to be watching baseball.
Hey, golf is fun. I watch that.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I get a kick out of watching them with no fans, nobody to high-five or cheer when you hit a good shot, but that's kind of like when I play, though. You know, nobody cheers. Not that I hit a lot of good shots.
No, and there's good reason for that. What is it about? But you know, we've kicked around. And we had Darren Heitner on earlier this morning talking about, you know, the legal implications of you know, bringing sports back, and then ultimately we just said, hey, bottom line is, you know, will we see it? And he said there's just too much money at stake for there not to be sports at some point this year. And you just wonder if, you know, will things start to, you know, as the numbers, you got to believe the numbers are going to go back down. And maybe you don't. I don't know. I guess if maybe, you know, are we going to start wearing masks? Are we going to start adhering more to the policies? But the question is, especially with a major holiday coming up this weekend, will we see another spike? Because, I don't think it's a coincidence that you saw a spike, you know, a couple weeks after after Memorial Day. And now we got another major holiday coming up.
Well, we'll see about the people all going out, you know, where you're
going to
be.
Yeah, I'm with Henry. I think people learn their lesson at Memorial Day. I think a lot of people are going to be a lot safer,
and I know the municipalities
are going to be a lot more diligent about shutting beaches and restaurants and bars. I mean, look, that's what they're doing in San Antonio. That's what they're doing in Port Aransas. They shut the beaches in Port Aransas effective, I think, tomorrow for the entire weekend. So they're getting out in front of it.
What do you expect out of Lance McCullers in 2020?
Well, I mean, he's had an extra 3 months to rehab, right? I mean, I wouldn't say he was a question mark, but they were certainly going to watch his innings for the start of the season when we were going to start late March. But now that now they've got an extra 3 months, I think they're feeling a lot better. They're certainly feeling a lot better about Justin Verlander. The problem is that, you know, they lost Gerrit Cole, they lost Wade Miley. So, you know, they're still a little bit short on arms. But we're just going to have to see what happens.
What can Astro fans, and you know this all too well, what can Astro fans expect out of Dusty Baker?
Oh, you're going to get a calming influence. You're going to get someone who is a true leader. You're not going to have to guess as to who is running that clubhouse. And you're going to know who is in charge, and you are going to know the difference between right and wrong. This guy is a solid individual. He can go fishing with one guy and then go to a rap concert with another guy the very next day. He is the ultimate cool. But you know that if you do something wrong, he will let you know it. And then he'll love you.
But your concern, though, is in the postseason.
God, really? If you just have to,
let's call it what it is. That's what the Astro fans. I mean, the beauty of where the Astros are at right now is, you know, these are first world championship team problems when you know you're not worried about the regular season, right? Like, Rockets fans aren't worried about the regular season. They know they're going to get to the playoffs, and then it's, okay, what's going to happen then, all right? We've already got people on the text line talking smack about, you know, James Harden, because we're talking, you know, I mean, we've said this on the show, on the podcast about, you know, we expect a very exciting postseason for the Rockets simply because you've got a healthy James Harden. The Astros are in that conversation. We know, barring some, and of course, we say we know. Of course, it's a 60-game season, so the ultimate fluke factor is in effect. But this team, the way it's constructed, should make the playoffs. And if they do, Dusty Baker, who's the calming influence, leader in the clubhouse, all the things you just mentioned. However, you got that to worry about.
Yeah, because more playoff series are lost than won by the managers.
Yeah,
and we all know this too well. 2019, what happened?
Say that again.
Right? And right. So I could see a Dusty Baker just throwing up all over himself, making a bad decision, because he's done that many times. He did it in 2002 with the Giants. He did it in 2003 with the Cubs by leaving Mark Pryor in way too long, by making some bad defensive substitution changes, and so we just hope that he's learned from his mistakes. We will see.
We shall.
But the other thing, too, is that, look, guys, in a sprint, in a 60-game sprint, we haven't seen the schedule yet, right? So the Astros, we don't know who's going to be their designated intra-league rival. If it's going to be the Dodgers, then, you know, they could be in a little bit of trouble. If it's going to be the Padres, then they have a much easier time of it to get to the postseason.
No, they certainly do. So that's going to be the next domino fall. Real quick, get you out of here with what?
I'm sorry?
I said we're up against it real quick. What were you about to say?
No. That's it. I mean, it just depends upon what the regular season schedule is going to look like. So.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. When did that come out?
It's supposed to come out, I think, Friday.
Gotcha. So we can marinate on tell you what, for all you people, instead of going out this weekend and spreading the Rona or catching the Rona, break down the Astros schedule. I know it's not the most riveting of things to do, but we got one more thing that Mike Babbo can do over this holiday weekend, and that's break down the schedule. Mike,
I will.
We know you will, and of course you guys can hear Mike every week on the HD Show podcast, so make sure you do just that. Mike, have a wonderful weekend with you and the fam, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. God bless. Stay safe.
Yes, sir. Bitter Mike Babbo, everybody. Like I said, you can catch him on the HD Show podcast with Bitter Mike. All right, coming up next, we'll transition back to football. One star defensive lineman is threatening to pull a Le'Veon Bell. Who is it, and what impact would it have on that team? We'll discuss that next. Don't go anywhere.
Less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, don't forget we've got Russell Baxter, Bax Football Guru, joining us in the 10 o'clock hour. It's going to go down at the 10:40-ish, give or take. Well, actually, last segment of the show, which I typically don't like guests in the last segment of the show, but Russell's a good guy, and we'll do about 10 minutes. And you know what I'll do? I'll get out of the other segment earlier. Okay?
So we can just run the show out? That's what
no,
you're
no,
doing?
No. What I'm going to do is, in that way, we'll keep Russell, because Russell's long-winded, too. Isn't it ironic that I have long-winded guests? I know that's hard for y'all to believe, but...
You make all guests long-winded because you have the questions.
Oh, you know why? Because
they feed off his energy.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay? I know I've been out of the game for a minute. You know, I mean, we're doing our podcast, what have you. Which, by the way, I was very, very pleased when I heard that Josh was brought to Sports Radio. Oh, my God. Freudian slip. Obviously, Josh and I work together at Sports Radio 610. But no, I was glad to hear that Josh is here at ESPN 97.5.
Right.
He has done just tremendous radio in the few weeks or month, however long he's been on here. So definitely shout out to Mr. Ennis here on ESPN 97.5. But listen, I'll put my interview game up against anybody's. Okay?
Anybody's.
Of course you will.
In this town. I don't give a damn.
okay? I don't give a damn. No, they just they feed off of it. Like Tyler said.
Right.
Like they, what you this, you can't hide this. You can't fake this. There's no faking this.
There's no stopping it. You can't stop it.
Shout out to my boy Mike Niemer from eRenewable. I'm telling you what. If Biden gets elected, aside from the fact that we're all screwed, well, oil and gas for sure. You better jump on that renewable train. That's all I'm saying, people. You better jump on that renewable train. eRenewable, eRenew.net. That's all I got to tell you. Mike Niemer, right. Proud Jayhawk, by the way. Proud Jayhawk.
Haven't met one that wasn't.
Tell you what, think about Mike Niemer that you can take to the bank. He's Lebanese and he's a Jayhawk, which means he's a grade-A human being.
Okay.
Book it. Book it. Nate? All right, we got haikus going down the 10 o'clock hour as well. We got Russell Baxter, and then we got a yay or nay. So that 10 o'clock hour is going to be loaded. Le'Veon Bell, let me ask you guys something. All right, so when Le'Veon Bell sat out a year, didn't make any money that year. All right, but he said, he said on Twitter yesterday or day before, whatever it was, that you know, he signed a 4 or 5 year, $45 million deal, I think it was, or $50 million deal. I'll look it up here in just a second. That he got with the Jets after sitting out a year.
Okay.
I'll ask you, Henry, because you are the qualified person in this room to answer this question. But from a NFL player's perspective, he says that, because somebody on Twitter said, you know, how'd that work out for Le'Veon Bell, a year of no money? And Le'Veon said, obviously, you know nothing about NFL contracts because having never played in the NFL, but yes, I got mine. Or some, and I'm paraphrasing. Does a year of not getting salary, I mean, in your eyes, from a professional football player standpoint, is it worth sitting out a year to get the money you want?
To get the money you want, absolutely.
Okay.
But not getting paid for a year, I mean, it's Le'Veon Bell.
It's a hell of a stance.
I mean, it's Le'Veon Bell. He's gotten, you know, he's gotten money on other things.
Right.
That wasn't football. And to be honest, for the money that he got, he could have sustained that whole year. Not even speaking of the money he's gotten in the past. So, you know, it just seems like needles. You know, they're needling at one another. One's posturing, the other one's needling. Well, you didn't do this. Well, you couldn't have done that. And it's the whole media thing. Like, I am so grateful and thankful and just glad that I played in there without any social media.
You'd have been a fun follow, I think.
No.
Social media.
How long did it take
you? Not to say that you're not a fun follow now.
Did it take you to get me to even start a Twitter page?
Yeah, but you would have. It would have been a different deal, though. You would have. Yeah, I mean, you don't think Jeff would have said, hey, you need to enhance your. Bro, you had a radio show.
That was it. I had two radio shows.
Okay, you had two radio shows in an era where most guys didn't even know what a radio station was. Yet here you were with two shows.
Sound like I was ahead of the curve.
No, you absolutely would have been. So you just made my point. Jeff would have said to you, get on your Twitter.
Nah.
What? I mean, sometimes.
Twitter, social media, Facebook. It wouldn't happen.
I feel like Jeff should call into the show if he's listening. 713.
Really? We've had him on the show before. We've had him on the show.
I just need him to answer a question. Yes,
really?
It's a yes or no.
Here, let me do it for
Jeff,
you.
Real quick.
let me answer for Jeff.
Okay, real quick. Jeff, for Henry's longtime agent and friend and financial advisor, would you have had Henry on Twitter back in the day?
Well, you know.
Jeff, Henry. I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. This has been good stuff from you.
Exactly.
That's good stuff from you. Chris Jones, the star defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, wants $20 million a year. Okay. He wants $20 million a year. Now,
what's my favorite want saying?
They're worth what they'll pay?
When you want something, I want to be 2 inches taller. Right. It ain't going to happen.
Okay, I need you to take off your defensive tackle hat.
I'm taking it off.
Okay.
Done. Setting it over here.
That's it. Because I need you to do that. And the fact that you and Chris both have, were both trained by the legendary Pete Jenkins.
Absolutely. Okay?
So we got to take that hat off.
Take that one off.
The only two defensive tackles in the NFL that are being paid $20 million a year or more are Aaron Donald and DeForest Buckner.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think DeForest Buckner is as good as Chris Jones.
No, he's not.
And I'm not saying that. And let me take my Chiefs hat off.
Chiefs hat, please. All right.
Let me take my Chiefs hat off. Chris Jones is, I mean, to me, is the second best defensive tackle in the NFL not named Aaron Donald. Is the best defensive tackle in the NFL not named Aaron Donald.
Right.
But I just, if you ask the Rams, is Aaron Donald worth $20 million? I mean, I don't,
he has a game-stopping ability.
Okay.
He can take over a game. And we're on Twitch, right?
We are on Twitch, yes.
Yeah, you might want to put that habit.
You know what? I'm good.
I'm just saying.
I'm good. I don't care. I don't care.
Anyways. But.
You heard Moak talk about people, you know, not going to the barber.
Yeah.
I don't have that excuse, but continue.
All right. But to my point is, he has the ability to stop games.
He does.
Chris shown that same ability in the Super Bowl.
He did.
I mean, if he doesn't knock two balls down, get that kind of pressure to get the ball back for his offense.
Oh, Chiefs don't win that Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And matter of fact, I'll do you one better. The Chiefs don't get to the Super Bowl if it's not for Chris Jones, because
Tennessee.
Derrick Henry was running all over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
All right. And then he was on a pitch count because he had the whole injured calf and what have you.
Because he was hurt.
And then they said, you know what? Middle of the part of the second quarter, they said, you know what? Bleep this.
Do what you got to do. Do what you can, and we'll work from there.
Suddenly, number 95 just went all out.
Yeah.
He went Henry Thomas on him.
Exactly. Exactly. And he has that ability. So saying that you want that, I'm all for it, demanding it. But being tagged with that franchise tag only gets him, what, $16 million?
I mean, I wouldn't say only, but yes, it gets him $16 million.
It's only compared to the 20.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so $4 million difference in a year. Are you kidding me? Come on.
No, that's a big deal. That's a big difference.
Take your 16, and next year you're sitting at 25.
Yeah.
You're going to be over $20
million. Not to mention, and we're going to go to break here in just a second, and we'll open up the phone line, 713-780-3776, getting to some Texans talk. You play for the Chiefs at $16 million.
Yeah.
You've now brought back every player, I think, but one.
Exactly.
On a team that won the Super Bowl. And you have a chance to become a two-time Super Bowl champion. And we know what you can do in the postseason. Don't you think, to your point, you hedge $4 million for the big payday versus hedging $16 million for the big payday. But you got more wear and tear, but at the same time, you've also got a chance because you got, you know, football Jesus on the other side.
Well, I think you keep him hungry, force him into that franchise tag.
Speaking of staying hungry in a franchise tag and football Jesus, just when you thought Patrick Mahomes couldn't get any greater, oh, he did. What do I mean? I'll tell you more next. Don't go anywhere. That's T. Scott on the ones, twos,
and threes.
That's the All-Pro Henry Thomas, and I'm just regular old Freddie D. Don't you go anywhere. This is ESPN
97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Now tuned into the greatest. Turn the music up in the headphones. Tim, you can go and brush your shoulders off. I got you. Yeah.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hova! Hova!
Hey. This is hot. This always gets you going.
This always gets you excited.
Oh, there's just such songs that just does that for you.
There are.
That just come on and you're in the zone right now.
What's that song for you, Tyler Scott? You strike me as kind of an Adele hello kind of guy when it comes to that sort of thing.
Hello.
Maybe a Pantera song.
Okay.
Pantera.
I see that.
Yeah. Effing Hostile. Let's go with that one.
Not to take anything away from who was it, Dimebag Darrell, that was shot on stage by a fan.
That was him, yeah.
When
shot
are we
getting on stage?
Shot on stage. Mm.
I feel like
that's Pantera's
time is coming though. They might get canceled because of their they used to have the Confederate flag a lot. Some of their stuff,
a little racy.
Yeah,
I mean, do we have to cancel them?
I mean,
you know, we were going to do a segment Friday.
It's not like they're not necessarily racist. Still a band. So.
There's a difference between being, to quote Bitter Mike, there's a difference between being racial and racist.
To quote Bitter Mike, yeah.
We were going to do a segment tomorrow, and I just didn't have time to do it in today's show, where we were going to, in the spirit of cancel culture, things we want to cancel.
Really?
Yes. Mm. But we just ran out of time.
Just can't do it.
And it's just getting out of control. Like, you're going to erase, you know the old adage, if you don't pay attention to history, you're, you know, doomed to repeat it.
Exactly.
So what, you erase it? I mean, and again, I'm not saying that, hey, we need to,
you know, how many
uphold
things?
The standard, because there's some things that I'm like, first of all, how did Siena Plantation get named Siena Plantation?
Because they had a sugar plantation on that property.
But I don't care, even before all this has broken out, the word plantation has to me, has always had a negative connotation.
Hairs and back my neck standing up right now every time you say it.
You know what I'm saying? I don't understand how the developer said, you know what, let's go with this name.
Siena Plantation.
It's going to be a nice community, and we're going to call it Siena Plantation.
Okay. Well,
I remember Matt Murphy.
That's the culture. There's your culture right there.
I was doing a show with Matt Murphy back in the day, and he told me he lived in Siena Plantation. I said, where?
Yeah.
What? Siena who?
Exactly.
Siena what?
You know, there's a plantation rum. They're changing their name.
That you have to. You should have never named it that. You should have never. And again, I'm not Mr. PC guy, but there's certain things that I do agree. There was a whipping post in Delaware that's been up for like hundreds of years where they killed people, and they had a fence around it, like a memorial,
like a protected landmark.
Yes. Jeez.
Well, that just goes to show you how much things that need to be changed, and
how
the culture has been just has that soap culture to it that,
yeah,
we're evolved to this,
but there's still that underbelly,
and they try to keep that out of there. I mean, there's so many things in history that has been erased and taken out that you don't know, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, you put all this stuff, like, you know, who's the most evil guy in history? Unfortunately, it's Hitler. But, you know, you couldn't say Stalin, even though he killed just more people, but it's Hitler. He took over, you know, he's the guy. So
in the power rankings of evildom.
It's just crazy how people can't see that this could be a problem. This is a problem, you know? And
but do we need, I guess my thing is, I think we do, not Bitter Mike's, Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
Renamed their BLT to the BLM, okay, in honor of Black Lives Matter. And instead of the bacon, lettuce, and tomato, they're going to call it the bacon, lettuce, and mato sandwich. Okay.
Why mato?
Well, so it can be BLM. And so instead of saying tomato, you say mato, which
now you're getting into like companies.
And this helps me how? This does what for me?
Well, because you being a black man, now maybe you'll go to Jersey Mike's.
I don't even go to Jersey Mike's.
Well, not, maybe not.
They use too much mayo. Just to change the name of a sandwich.
Man. So that's what have been one of my biggest issues with all this, all right? For these companies that are coming out, you haven't cared.
It's a money grab.
It's
always a money grab, period.
When did Ben and Jerry's got all this love because they put out this tersely worded statement?
What Ben and Jerry's has been woke. They have been.
That's what the kids
they've
say
been
nowadays.
Woke. They have been up
for a while.
On. Like racial community
equality.
Issues, I think all that
stuff.
Other
than
a while.
Cherry Garcia ice cream, what's been?
I mean,
they've
donated
doing?
To causes and stuff.
Okay,
like, they've donated many causes.
See, okay,
their,
so
like,
that okay,
tenure.
So that I'll give you credit for, right? I mean, I'll give Ben and Jerry's credit for that.
Like, they're not singling out any one specific group. They're
they've been a champion of progressive
of
causes for a while. Okay, exactly. And you know what? Now that I respect. Okay, don't necessarily have to agree with whatever the, you know, certain causes they may have supported, but I can at least appreciate that. But don't, as a company, come to me or send me some freaking ignorant ass Twitter message or company statement because now all of a sudden you think you need to do the right thing. Y'all been doing business a certain way for so long, and now all of a sudden you want to pretend like you're righteous. That's the issue I have with a lot of these companies.
I don't think that they're trying to pretend that they're righteous. I think what the message, a lot of them, other than the fact that I see it for what it is, a money grab,
yeah.
But a lot of the things is that they're trying to say is, I can see the problem there. Here's a little change.
Yeah.
Let me get that out. That might have, you know, like Sienna Plantation. Now it can't, you know, they're changing the name.
Yeah.
You know, because
I just don't see how you name that in the first place. I mean, who in that room said, you know what? I mean, there had to be people sitting around that boardroom or sitting around the idea, shooting ideas and said, yes, let's name this Sienna Plantation. And nobody, nobody stood up and said, wait, we're going to be a, you know, upper middle class style neighborhood, but let's throw Plantation in the mix.
Think about when they did it.
How long? Oh, and again, you've been, obviously you're from Houston, so you know that. How long has Sienna Plantation been around?
It's been a while.
Okay.
So they were actually playing to a certain
demographic.
That was not thrown around, and they were going for a certain demographic in that community.
Ah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Because I know I'd have rolled by like, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go to Mo City.
But you're a North Side guy, though. I can't picture you living on the South Side.
So the history of it, Sienna Subdivision is on land that previously operated as a sugar and cotton plantation.
Okay.
That was purchased in 1840. In the 70s, developer Larry Johnson founded the Johnson Development Corporation, and in 1978 began the development of the product or the project.
Interesting.
So they were basically
for a certain demographic.
Mid-80s, they began construction of single-family homes, 10-mile-long levee, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, is it Sienna Plantation in Mo City?
Just outside, yeah.
Just outside? Okay.
It's in there. It's,
okay.
It's in Missouri City.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The developer refocused his efforts in 1994. The development of Sienna was organized by Tan Yu, a billionaire developer from the Philippines, who in 1997 was based in Taiwan.
Tan wasn't worried about it.
Tan was detached.
Yeah.
He had no plantation. Yeah, that sounds good.
Tan was no more concerned about the racial constructs of what that word meant other than how much money I'm going to make.
He said billionaire. So it said it right. That said it right there. Tan and Philippine billionaire. And a billionaire in the Philippines?
Philippine billionaire. Tan no more. Tan wouldn't know a plantation if you took him to one.
I mean, if he was a billionaire in the Philippines, you know, that's like four-time billionaire here. Five times a billionaire in the Philippines.
Let's put it this way. My guess is he's probably from the Philippines and was raised here in the States. Or maybe he joined the Navy.
I don't know.
Because there's a lot of Filipinos that join the Navy, too.
There you go.
So you've worked
with a lot of them. Koreans?
No, you know what?
You just blanketed some people. You just blanketed them with that, the whole little blanket of just say Asian people.
No, man. No, because you know what? I'm thinking of Guam. It's a U.S. territory.
Okay, yeah.
It's a U.S. territory.
Absolutely.
Right down the street,
just
man.
Just right there. That's what you were thinking of. I got you. Guam. That's it. I'm good with it. It's an honest mistake.
But I promise you,
we're
there
not
was
have
a,
you
I'm
pull
telling
out
you,
that podium.
A, man, I'm telling you.
I apologize to all Asians for my insensitive comments.
Three hours in the books, boys and girls.
But
I'm telling you right now, I promise you, I feel like there was a deal. And again, this has been, it's been 20, I mean, I've been out of the Navy 20 years almost, okay? But I felt like there was a deal or a situation where if you were from the Philippines, they had an agreement where you could join the Navy. And again, I know Guam, like I said, Guam's a U.S. territory, so that's not, that wasn't an issue. But I felt like, and that's why I was thinking about that, because hell, one of my RDCs in boot camp, Petty Officer Payumo, was a Filipino dude, meanest son of a bitch ever in the history of little Filipinos, and we know there's a fair share of them. So that being said, 3 hours in the books, final hour of the program coming up. We got Russell Baxter, we got yay or nays, and we got haikus, masks, 4th of July, open relationships,
and a freestyle,
and a freestyle. Don't go anywhere. Just tied down. She likes to spread her love and
for sports is ESPN 97.5.